in times of difficulty, we can look to the scriptures. So I want you to hear these words from Romans 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless. Do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And he ends that passage in saying, do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil. There we go. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. No matter where you stand on the circumstances of what happened or why it happened, as the family of God, we must realize people are hurting. People feel let down as a result of what transpired in the Breonna Taylor death. Many of our Black and brown brothers and sisters are hurting. They're feeling left behind. They're feeling forgotten. But don't take my word for it. Ask them. Talk to them. Listen to them. What are they feeling through all of this? Forgotten not just by our nation, but sometimes by the church. Sometimes even by God. Because you see, the longer you feel pushed down, overlooked, discriminated, rowing uphill all the time, the easier it is to question, as David did, where is God in all of this? To cry out, how long, God, will evil continue? We just finished a series on Micah 6:8, and that series challenged us to act and to do justice and find unity, to love mercy by forgiving and by showing compassion, and to walk humbly before our God in loving our neighbor. Church, people are hurting, and as Christ followers, we need to be compassionate, to love mercy. The church does well in rejoicing with those who rejoice. We celebrate well, but now is the time to mourn with those who mourn so that they feel heard. They feel counted. We can live in harmony with one another. This is a great opportunity to demonstrate the love, the forgiveness, the grace that was given to you and me by showing it to others. May we, as the church, Jesus' bride, lead the way to overcoming evil with good. That's my heart. I felt like I needed to share with you today on that whole situation. Shifting gears, as Skeeter said, next week is the beginning of us gathering again. And for some of you seeing me for the first time, if you were not able to make it out to the outdoor services, it's a new season. We're going to be regathering for our family services. We want people to feel safe. We want people to feel informed. We want people to feel welcomed. We want families and kids to feel welcome. We want young and old to feel welcome. We want people who want to connect with the body of believers to feel welcomed. We're actually getting equipment that will allow us to still stream so that if you're not ready to meet indoors, if you're hesitant, you can still tune in just as you have been into the services. So in order to do this, I said, we're building a welcome team. And I've been thinking through, how do I do this training in the most efficient, easiest way? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a Zoom training call on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So September 29th, Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we'll put the link on the Facebook page for those of you that want to be part of that welcome team to help people feel informed, to help people feel safe, and to help people feel welcomed. That's for you. if you have questions or if you said you were in by email, I'll respond back to your email. My email, PastorDanNJ@gmail.com. Now, there are some changes that have to happen, right? Where you have a limit of 85 people based on the capacity that we have. Masks are going to be required by New Jersey for indoor gatherings at all times. We're going to be seating families together and then spread out social distance to the next family or the next person. Now, we're still tweaking some of those rules. So, for instance, you see here earlier in the first notice that went out on Facebook, it said bathrooms will be closed. After getting feedback and getting thoughts and looking into it myself, no, the bathrooms will not be closed. They'll be open for emergencies. You can say, Pastor Dan, if it's a bathroom, every use of it is an emergency. Good point. But we're going to put in some guidelines there again so people feel safe and are able to use those facilities. If you have questions about what we're doing, what about this? Why don't we do this? Send it to me in the email, PastorDanNJ@gmail.com. I can't wait to be gathering together. As Skeeter said, this is kind of the end of a certain season. For me, it is the end of preaching in a t-shirt. Probably, definitely preaching in shorts. You do not want me to unleash these extremely pale legs on you poor people. But I can't wait to get together again. As we look into this new chapter, there's a passage that I want to share with you today. And that passage is in Hebrews 12. And it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. As we look at that passage, the first thing that we see is it says, therefore. Since it says, therefore, that means back it up. This is the beginning of Hebrews 12, so backing it up means going back to Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 11, we find the faith Hall of Fame. Have you ever been to a Hall of Fame? I grew up in the central part of New York State, and not far from us, probably about 45 minutes or so, was Cooperstown, the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. And we would go on class trips, and sometimes we would go as a family. And when you went there, you were just kind of awed by the people and the accomplishments of what got them there. The great pioneers of the game of baseball. Well, here in Hebrews 11, the author's talking about the Faith Hall of Fame. And he lists out names of who was there. There's Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Sarah and Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. Now, what characteristics do you recall about any of those? Put those in the comments. I'm really curious. When you think of these people, what do you think of? Some of them are better known than others. Of course, we've heard of David, we've heard of Samuel, we've heard of Samson, and we've heard of many of them, Abraham and so on. So, but when's the last time you heard a message on Enoch, the man who lived such a faithful life that he was taking before he died to be with God in an instant? When's the last time you heard of a message on Barak? But regardless, these are the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. So as we continue with that, it tells us that these were all commended for their faith. Yet, none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us, they would be made perfect. That idea of they were commended means they gained approval. Another translation says they gained approval. Another one says they obtained a good testimony. Because of their faith, they believed. They acted on it, and it was counted as righteousness to them. These are the Old Testament men and women of great faith that are laid out here in Hebrews 11. But it says they did not receive what was promised, because what was promised by the prophecies of the Old Testament was better. It was a better plan. It was a better way. What was promised was a Messiah. What was promised was Jesus. Now that we understand where that therefore comes from, we can continue on in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you see, we're surrounded, encompassed by those that have gone before us. The great heroes of faith are my and your mentors. You see, we can learn from them what to do, in some cases, what not to do, how to worship, how to walk with God, how to step out in faith. Think about that. Look at that list. One commentary I read said that these people that are surrounding and encompassing are cheering us on for the race that we're to run. They're rooting for us. They're saying, watch what I did. Learn from me. Do better. So now what? It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now we run the race that is marked for us. Marked for us. Now, that struck me. You see, we each run our own race, but we run it together. It's about the pace and the path that we take. Notice, I don't set the race path. God does. I don't set my race pace. How quickly I go from milepost to milepost. God does. Now, I am tasked to run the race God places me in. And we can see through that. To run the race marked for me is going to take perseverance and endurance. It's a journey. It's not a sprint. I'm going to want to quit at times. I'm going to want to find another way at times, an easier way, a more comfortable way. There's got to be a better way. For me, you see, I'm going to want to find my way. I'm going to want to mark the race that I'm in. But that's not what it says here. To run the race marked for me is going to bring me through trials. Because endurance comes from suffering. Paul tells us this in Romans 5. He says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Are you kidding me? We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So we're going to be suffering to build the endurance that's going to allow us to persevere in the race. And before that, I have to make sure I'm prepared for God's race marked for me. You see, you don't run a race worth competing in without preparing first. To run the race marked for me, I have to prepare. So I have to know, what is that race marked out for me? What is that race God's marked out for you? Are you ready to run that race? Are you prepared to run that race? To prepare, I have to push myself to do the hard work so that I'm able to run the race well. And so he says, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Before you run the race, you have to get rid of the things that hold you back, slow you down, and they trip you up. You can't run the race well with those things. They entangle you. They trip you up. They wrap themselves around you. Fear and anxiety hold us back because they say, you can't do this, so don't even try. Guilt and shame slow you down, making you look behind instead of ahead of the race that's in front of you. And sin trips you up. It causes you to question God's perfect love and God's personal promises. It challenges you by saying things like, were you really forgiven? Do you think God can use you after what you've done? Are God's promises really still for you? To which we need to respond as God's children, yes, yes, and yes. So how do we fight those battles? He tells us. He says, you need to first throw it off. Throw it off because you don't need them. Lay them aside. Put them down. Those things that entangle. Those things that slow you down. Those things that hold you back. It's not yours to carry anyway. Because if you're found in Jesus, you are forgiven and you are free. I was just asked to be part of the 25-year anniversary of Living Hope Church that I served with and led for 2 years in a transition time. And they're located in the city of Trenton. So over that 25 years, many, many changes, ups and downs of just what it takes to minister in a city, in an urban, in sometimes a desperate environment. But one of the things that as these were live services when I was there, and as they were live services, they were live translated services. So though I don't know very much Spanish at all, every now and then there were certain words that would jump out at me that I made sure that I learned because I knew that the hearers hearing it in their own language, in Spanish, might take it a little deeper, a little more personal. And one of those was that idea that we are forgiven and we are free. In Spanish, that is perdonado and libre. We are perdonado and libre. And once we throw off those things, put those things down, then we're ready to run the race. And we do that, he tells us, by fixing our eyes on Jesus, that he is the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice what it says. We're to set our eyes not on the race course that we're running, but on the race maker, the designer of the course. Well, who runs a race that way? Why would we do that? How would we know where we're going? And it says, so that we can endure with joy, so that we can laugh at Satan's accusations and his lies that he tells us, so that we will not be distracted from running our race. Rather, we focus on Jesus, how he endured, how he suffered, and how he triumphed and is now at the right hand of God the Almighty, your Father, that for the joy that was before him, he carried and endured the scorn, the shame, and the cross. Listen, the race that has been marked out for you has already been run and has already been won by Jesus. Our task is to focus on Jesus to make our way through that course. And he says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider. What he's saying is, think about this. Concentrate on this. Meditate on this. What Jesus did for you. Remember Jesus. Remember what he went through. Remember what he suffered. Remember that he died for you. And press on. When your eyes are on Jesus, you focus more on the giver of hope than you do the difficulties of the race. You see, in this race, the destination is not a place. The destination is to get closer to Jesus until one day we see him face to face. Jesus is the answer. He is your rock. He is your fortress. He is your strong tower. He is your stream by the living water that refreshes and replenishes. He is your refuge, your redeemer. He is your Lord. So how does that help me? So that you will not grow weary. So that you will not lose heart. Jesus suffered now in his time to obtain the joy of God had for him and to provide you and me access to that joy as well. So where are you in this process of preparation and running the race? Do you know Jesus and have made the choice for him to be your personal Savior and Lord? It is by your personal choice of confessing your sins and of claiming his grace for your own, of turning your will and your life over to him. Do you know the race that's been marked for you? Do you know what God's calling you to do? Maybe you're fighting through those entanglements, those snares, just to get to the race. Are you ready to run, to fix your eyes on Jesus? Are you running the race Jesus marked for you? And if not, what's stopping you? And how can we, the body of Christ, help each other along those paths as they criss and cross at different times? To help us help each other run with perseverance, with endurance, and to run it with joy. That's the challenge here. That's what is being laid out by the author. Jesus marks the course. We prepare. We run. fixing our eyes on him. And as a result, the blessings are all ours. We can claim them as our own. I pray that you would focus on that this week, that you would, in your time, ask the Spirit to unveil, to show, what are those entanglements? Where am I in the race? Where am I struggling? Where do I need to reach out and ask for help? Because I believe you will hear from God. You may not hear what you want to hear, but I believe that is a prayer, as in Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, test me, know me, show me. Final reminder, Zoom call Tuesday night for that welcome team. I'm so excited about getting these people together, first virtually, and then we'll meet earlier on Sunday. The regathering is next Sunday, October 4th, 10 a.m. Please show up about a half an hour early. We have no idea how long this process is going to take. We ask for your patience as we learn, and we will be tweaking it each week as we go. We welcome your comments. You can send those to me at PastorDanNJ@gmail.com, or any questions you have in the comments in this video here, as we'll be looking through all of them.